Turn this morning in our Bibles to the Old Testament book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 23 this morning. Proverbs chapter 23, beginning at verse 22, just a few verses from this chapter. And I would especially call the children's attention to these words. Boys and girls, I hope you have your Bibles open this morning in your laps. I want you especially to pay close attention to these words from Proverbs. Proverbs 23, verses 22 through 25. Listen to your father who gave you life, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy truth, and do not sell it. Buy wisdom, instruction, and understanding. The father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. I call those words to your attention, boys and girls, this morning. Think about that today, would you, please? Do you want to make mom and dad glad, joyful, grateful for all that they've done for you? Then honor them. Obey them. Give them the respect that is due to them. Let's turn then also to our catechism lesson, Lord's Day 39 of the Heidelberg Catechism. Page 52 in the back of the Psalter hymnal. Page 52. Let me read for you this morning our confession concerning the fifth commandment. Page 52, question and answer number 104. What is God's will for us in the fifth commandment? And here's what you and I profess. God's will is this: that I honor, love, and be loyal to my father and mother and all those in authority over me, that I obey and submit to them as is proper when they correct and punish me, and also that I be patient with their failings, for through them, God chooses to rule us. Here ends the reading of the Catechism. Boys and girls, let me encourage you, families with small children. It'd be a great idea, I think, for you to spend a little time today at the dinner table. You have time today, this afternoon and this evening, to commit these words to memorization, maybe during the course of this week. By the end of the week, you as a family will have the entire Lord's Day memorized. It's short enough, I think, that it's reasonable to expect that even smaller children should be able to commit these words to memory, and by doing so, to commit them to their hearts. Let's join together now in prayer. Father, we sung just a few moments ago that prayer. Speak, O Lord, as we come to you to receive the food of your holy word. Take your truth, plant it deeply in us, shape and fashion us in your likeness. In our own strength, Father, that will not happen. We are dependent upon your Spirit to work powerfully, mysteriously, wonderfully in our lives. And so we pray that he would make our hearts attentive, our minds sharp, that you would give us lives that are changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, as we look this morning at the fifth commandment, and before I get to the exposition in the catechism, I just want to say a couple of things by way of introduction when we look at the Ten Commandments and the fifth commandment in particular. First of all, there is a challenge, a contemporary challenge when it comes to the fifth commandment. It's simply this: we live in a day, we live in a culture that resents authority. In fact, I was tempted to entitle the sermon for this morning, Says Who? Says Who? Now, boys and girls, you may not talk that way to mom or dad, but let's be honest. Maybe in the back of your mind, when mom and dad tell you to do something, or teacher tells you to do something, or somebody in authority tells you to do something, your attitude is, says who? Or the pastor. He preaches the word of God, and your response is, says who? I'll do my own thing. Thank you very much. Think about the challenge in terms of our own contemporary popular culture compared to what it was just a generation or so ago. I've used this illustration with my students in catechism. Look, for example, at television shows that depict the contemporary family compared to what it was, say, 30 or 35 years ago. I've used the illustration of a show like Little House on the Prairie, The Ingalls Family. It's still on television, so you can watch that. Listen carefully, observe carefully how the children, not only of the Ingalls family, but other families, listen to how they speak to mom or dad or to other adults. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. And the response today by adults is how quaint. The response today by children is, you've got to be kidding me. Am I right? Compare that to television shows today depicting contemporary families. We speak not only to mom and dad, but we speak to them by their first name. Yes, Paul. Yes, Karen. We speak to adults, addressing them by their first name. Generations before, that was unheard of. You didn't speak to people that way. And it wasn't simply a matter of being polite. It was a reflection of the honor and the respect that is due to our seniors, due to people in authority over us, due to adults. How much has changed? It presents a challenge, to be sure. But then also, before we look at the exposition of the catechism, I want you to remember that when we look at the catechism and its treatment of the Ten Commandments, we do so understanding that these commandments are the expressions of God's grace. So that when Paul talks about what the Christian life ought to look like, for a Christian, it's a radically different concept than for someone who's outside of Jesus Christ. What does Paul say in Colossians 3? You've been raised with Christ to newness of life. What does Paul say in Romans 8? In your own sinful nature, you can't keep God's law. You can't obey in a way that pleases God. Why? Because the sinful nature, the flesh, he says, is hostile to it. So that when we look at the fifth commandment, we remember that apart from Jesus Christ, the impulse is to reject it. And to say, who do mom and dad think they are? Who does the teacher think he is or she is? Who does the pastor think he is? I want to be my own boss. I want to be my own authority. I want to have the final word. But over against that, the great news of the gospel is this. God has given you a new heart. And with a new heart comes a new desire. So that I can preach this morning on the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother in a way that can be obeyed by those who have been given new life in Jesus Christ. The Spirit who shapes and molds us. So that even as Jesus Christ was obedient to his heavenly father and his earthly parents, so we this morning can be obedient to our parents and to those in authority over us. What I'd like to do, and I draw your attention to the outline in the bulletin insert this morning, what I want to do is I want to focus this morning upon the verbs in the catechism lesson, the catechism Lord's Day. Notice with me, boys and girls, the verbs, the action words. What does God want you to do? Specifically, let's be very specific, very clear, very plain and simple. There's nothing complicated about this. There's nothing that should be over your heads this morning. What does God want you to do? He wants you to honor, first of all. Honor your parents, mom and dad. Secondly, obey and submit to them. And then thirdly, bear patiently with mom and dad and those in authority over you. Can you do that for me this morning? Listen carefully, boys and girls, because I want to direct this sermon in particular to you. Parents, you better be listening. Because this commandment has something to say to you as well, and grandparents. and all of us who are under the authority of someone else. But I want to focus specifically upon that relationship between the parent and the child. What does God want you to do, boys and girls? He wants you, first of all, to honor your father and your mother. And here I want to say a word for just a moment about the distinction between honoring mom and dad and obeying. They're not the same word. It's not the same concept. There's a distinction between honor and obedience and honor and love. Why do I say that? Boys and girls, obedience can mean little more than compliance or simply doing as you're told. Right? You know what I'm talking about. Mom, dad says, take out the garbage. And you complain. You whine. But you do it eventually. Maybe after they've prodded you a few times. I'll do it, or I'll clean my room when I'm good and ready. But I'll do it because if I don't do it, there will be consequences. Hopefully, if you're a good parent, you say, if you don't do this, you will have to live with the consequences. Obedience, we recognize, can be grudging. It can be reluctant. It can be a mere formality. And I point it out because God wants more from you, boys and girls, than mere formality. The kind of obedience the Lord wants from you is not simply the grudging, reluctant, yeah, I'll do it when I'm ready, when I feel like it. Honor is more than obedience. But honor cannot function apart from obedience. Remember that. At the very least, you have to obey. But more than that, you are to honor. To honor in the Bible means to treat someone as important, as weighty, as someone who is of great significance, someone who ought to be respected, someone who not only should be obeyed, but someone even who should be revered. Someone who should be listened to carefully. The Greek word in the New Testament implies something of great value or import. That you set a value or import upon someone. And here we're talking about mom or dad in particular. We could also extend that to the boss at work, the mayor, the governor, the president. That we attach an estimation of great value. Does it make you feel a little bit uncomfortable this morning? I'm talking here about the adults, about how you speak about people in authority, your boss. How do you speak about the president? Do you pray for the president? Honor recognizes that parents are both teachers and disciplinarians. Think about that in the Bible. How often in Proverbs, but also elsewhere, Deuteronomy 6, the primary responsibility for the education and nurture of the child rests upon the parent. That's why our Christian schools are structured the way they are. They're not parochial schools. They're not church-run schools. They are parent-run schools because God has given you the responsibility, and you dare not simply push that off to someone else and say, well, that's the pastor's responsibility, that's the elder's responsibility, that's somebody else's responsibility. No, it's your responsibility. Parents shape us into the people we are called to be. Parents instruct us about matters of faith and morality. Parents, are you doing that? Have you been doing that? Or have you been negligent? Parents instill a love for the Lord and a love for our neighbor. And here again, it's not simply by what we say, but also by what we do. What does your example, what does your own personal practice teach your children about your faith, your love for the Lord, and your love for your neighbor? Parents teach and guide and influence and persuade. And in light of that, boys and girls, because it's their calling to do that, you are to honor them, respect them, give them your attention, your undivided attention. Treat them as people who are very important in your lives. Honor here has the ring of military discipline. In a sense, it's a very unsentimental notion. It means that parents are here to discipline, to set standards, to demand certain kinds of behavior, a certain expectation that this is how children will act in the home and outside the home. I say that in distinction from views that say, well, the relationship between a parent and a child is simply one of sentimentality, love and affection. Now, it's not to say that there shouldn't be love and shouldn't be affection, but those are two distinct ideas, aren't they? Honor and love are distinct, but they're intimately related to each other. Love is a natural impulse. Honor is a moral choice. Honor will not come naturally to your children. It has to be instilled. It has to be taught. If need be, you have to discipline your children to instruct them how to honor mom and dad. Love seeks intimacy. We all know that. We know that between a husband and a wife. We know the love between a parent and a child. It's something that's intimate and close and warm. Honor keeps its distance. Parents, you know that to be true in the workplace, don't you? It's true, for example, in the military. There has to be a certain distance between a commanding officer and the soldiers whom he commands. In the workplace, there has to be a certain emotional detachment between a boss, a supervisor, and the employees. Why? Because if that line of distinction is eradicated, if it's gone, if he's simply one of the boys, it ruins the dynamic, doesn't it? He can't be an effective leader. He can't be someone who's going to enforce the rules. He's not going to be someone who can effectively discipline when necessary. And it applies to parents and children as well. Parents, you are not here to be your children's pal or friend, first of all. And there are some parents who think that their primary calling is to be a friend to their children. Or they want to relive their own childhood through their children. Honor respects the gap between parent and child. Love bridges the gap, but honor respects the gap. So that, parents, you must realize that there will be times where you're going to be very unpopular with your children. But you need to maintain that distinction. Your children need to honor you. And although the emotional impulse may be to have your children like you and show affection to you, there are times where you're going to have to take the hard line and say, no, I'm going to do this even if it displeases you, even if you find it very difficult to swallow. I have to do this for your own welfare. Honor and love need each other. Think about this. Without love, honor is cold, strained, forced, infected with resentment, a hollow shell of polite anger. So let's be clear about that as we look at honor and love. Those two belong together, even though they're distinct. Because if all you teach your children, all you show to your children, is that they have to honor you but not love you, that honor is just a hollow shell of anger. It's cold, it's sterile. On the other hand, if you instill love in your children for you, but don't instill honor, love lacks the structure and is eventually destructive. And many parents here perhaps could testify from their own example or from others they've seen. Parents who don't want to instill that sense of honor, respect, they will deal with all sorts of heartaches down the road. Not only in the family, mind you, but also in terms of how they deal in life with an employer, with a coworker, with people who are in authority over them. You teach children at a young age that they don't have to honor people in authority. I guarantee you will make your lives and the lives of your children miserable as they grow up. The Bible guarantees that. Conversely, the Bible says with that promise or with that commandment comes the promise that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life. I understand that promise to mean that for a society, for a culture, for a household that honors the fifth commandment, there will be that happy relationship between parent and child and between those in the family and people in authority over them. What happens to society when there isn't respect or honor for a parent? You have misery. But how do we apply and how do we practice this honor? Well, very simply, and I want you to note this morning, boys and girls, it's to show love to your parents for their care, for their instruction, and for their kindness. That you love them. And you let them know that you love them. That means to take their instruction to heart, teenagers, and not to be resentful, not to think that somehow you know better than them, or somehow you're left with take it or leave it. No, it means that when your parents tell you something, even if it seems odd to you, even if it seems strange to you, even if it seems offensive to you, you defer to their judgment. Loyalty. Even in their old age, and there's a lot to be said about that for those of us who are older, how do you speak about your parents? What does your speech about your parents, boys and girls, say about the way you honor or dishonor mom or dad? I don't just mean how you speak to them directly, but when you're with your friends, when you're in company with others. How do you speak about mom and dad? Is it negative? Critical? That you're always putting them down, making fun of them? Talking about how uncool they are, how unhip they are, how they're just totally out of it. They don't get it. They're stupid. Do you talk that way about mom or dad? And then as our parents get older, do we simply push them off and say, you take care of yourself? Or do we have an obligation, a moral obligation, on the basis of the fifth commandment, to provide for our parents as best we can, to attend to their needs, to show them the respect that is due to them? We do that because we seek to honor God by honoring our parents. So that's the first verb, honor. Secondly, the Catechism speaks of obeying and submitting to them as is proper. Why? Well, here again, the question I posed earlier. Says who? Boys and girls, says who? And I talked in my catechism classes, and my high schoolers know this. Why do you obey mom and dad? Why should you? Is it because mom or dad is stronger than you? Dad can beat you up? I think about the t-shirt I see some mothers wearing. You know what I'm talking about? It says, because I'm the mommy, that's why. I understand why mothers in their frustration may feel that way, but it's not a very good answer, is it? As though, well, to do it because I said so. Sometimes we have to explain to our children why it is that they have to obey us. It's not just that we're stronger or more experienced or more intelligent. I ask the kids, what if it turns out to be that you're more intelligent than mom or dad? Does that mean you have to stop obeying them? The answer is no. Why do we obey and submit to them? The word is authority. Authority, which is different than power. Authority means the combination of a legitimate power or legitimacy and power. Without legitimacy, you have something similar to, well, let's say the Nazis, who have power to rule over other people, but they don't have the legitimacy to do so. Or people who have legitimacy, but no power. A ruler in exile, for example. I'm the king, I'm the queen of this country or that country. But if you can't exercise that power, you really don't have authority, do you? And yet, a parent cannot exercise authority unless he or she is trusted as an authority figure. Think about that, mom or dad. Do your children, trust you as an authority figure? That you've shown yourself to be trustworthy? Sometimes I hear kids say, well, respect is something that has to be earned. It has to be earned. It has to be deserved. No. Boys and girls, no. That's not a biblical teaching. You respect them. You honor them. You obey them. And eventually you will learn how to honor them and trust them, respect them, even in spite of their faults. Why? Because as authority figures, they have been appointed by God to nurture you. God has placed them in that position, that relationship. It's the right thing to do. Think of what the Apostle Paul writes in Colossians 3 and in Ephesians chapter 6. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. This is the way God has designed His creation. That parents should be in a position of authority over their children. There's the promise of a long and prosperous life. But also, because parents discipline their children for their own good. Why should you obey? Why you should submit to them? Because your parents are nurturing you. They're disciplining you. They must even sometimes punish you for your own good. Think of Hebrews chapter 12, where the writer there says, all of us know what it's like to be disciplined by earthly parents. At the time, it didn't seem pleasant. And sometimes, you know this, boys and girls, sometimes discipline is extremely painful. And I'm not talking just about a spanking on your rear end. I'm talking about being grounded for weeks on end or certain privileges taken away from you. It can be a very unpleasant experience. But hopefully, with maturity, you come to understand that mom and dad had your best interest at heart. And a foolish child, a foolish son or daughter, says Proverbs, is someone who spurns that discipline. Someone who hates it and resents it. But a wise child will respond with not only submission, but appreciation. How should we do that? How should we obey and submit to our parents, boys and girls? Promptly. Promptly. We don't say, well, I'll do it eventually. If mom or dad tells you to do something, you do it promptly. And it's okay to say, yes, sir, or yes, ma'am. It seems to me we ought to be inculcating that more and more in our children, to teach them to respect those in authority. You do it gladly. You don't whine. You don't complain. You don't clench your teeth and say, oof. Why can't he do it? Why can't she do it? Brother or sister, somebody else, the dog. You do it gladly. You do it completely. You do a thorough job. And you do it without talking back or complaining. The Lord loves a cheerful, obedient child. Are you listening to me, boys and girls? Are you listening to me? Don't just do it and then complain about it. You do it gladly. You do it respectfully. You obey and you submit to them. Thirdly, the third verb I want to focus on in the catechism is to bear patiently. To bear patiently with their failings. Teenagers, I want to talk to you for a moment about this because I think this is especially true for you as you become older and as your emotions and intellect grow and develop. You may find it more and more difficult to obey mom and dad because you begin to see more clearly your parents' shortcomings. Recognize, of course, that because your parents are sinful people, they will fail. They are not perfect people. No parent here this morning would dare say, I haven't made a mistake. I haven't committed a fault. Every parent knows, believe me, every parent is painfully aware of their own shortcomings as a parent. Sometimes those of us who are older recognize with great remorse the things that we've done that we should have done differently, or the things that we didn't do that we should have done, or things that we did that we should never have done. There are failings and limitations to sinful parents. But you know what, boys and girls, teenagers, you listen to me carefully this morning. Obedience, honor, and loyalty are not conditioned upon parental perfection. In other words, you dare not say, I don't have to obey, I don't have to honor mom and dad because they make mistakes just like I do. You obey them for Christ's sake. You obey them because you love Jesus Christ and you love mom and dad. We recognize that parents are sinful and imperfect people. But by God's grace, you also learn to realize, and those of us who are older realize this about our own parents, that in many cases where they did fail, they were failing but trying to do their very best. They were trying to do their very best. And maybe because of their own immaturity, because of their own limitations, because of the stresses and strains of life, they didn't do it as well as they should have. Do you come to recognize that as you grow older? Does that soften your heart? Does that make you, in turn, more gracious to them and to your own children? We obey the fifth commandment, says the Catechism, for God's sake. For God's sake. Not because they're perfect. Not because they're more intelligent than us. We don't obey them simply because they have the threat of beating us up. That's not the kind of honor that God wants in children. But here I want to say a word to adults. I want to say a word to adults. First of all, do you want to cultivate this kind of honor and loyalty in your own children? I'm talking to you with small children. When your children grow up and when you grow older and are more and more dependent upon your children, how do you want them to treat you? Paul warns in the same breath as he says, children, obey your parents. He also says, and parents, do not exasperate your children. Parents, have you exasperated or do you exasperate your children? In terms of demands that are unrealistic and unfair? In terms of inconsistency in your discipline? Are you exasperating your children by showing favoritism to some and not to others? Are you exasperating your children by not nurturing them as you should? You expect a certain behavior, but you're not willing to put in the time or the effort to teach them, to model that behavior for them. Do you exasperate them? I tell you, if you exasperate them, don't be surprised if when you grow old, they want nothing to do with you. They simply dismiss you. But I would also say to those of you who are adults, you need to deal biblically with your past. Because some of you this morning may very well be bitter and resentful towards your parents. You had parents who were maybe excessively harsh, excessively strict. They did things that hurt you. I'm not talking here about abuse. I'm just talking about your own experience. Are you resentful? Are you bitter? Does that come out in how you speak of your parents? Does that come out in terms of how you relate to mom and dad now, in their old age? You just as soon stay away from them. Or you like to remind them over and over and over again of all their shortcomings. Many of us like to do that when we're at family gatherings. Think of how painful that is to a parent who knows that he or she was not the perfect parent that you may have wanted. How do you speak about your parents? Are you prepared to forgive them? Will you tell them that? Consider this, Jesus Christ, who was perfect, in all of his being, learned how to obey imperfect parents. If Jesus, who was perfect, knew how to obey and honor and show deference to parents who were sinful, then surely all of us who are sinful, fallen creatures, prone to make mistakes, can learn how to honor mom or dad who may not be perfect as parents. So, boys and girls, I ask you again, will you pray for God to teach you how to honor your father and mother? Will you practice that? Parents, will you strive to instill that honor, that respect in your children and be consistent about that? Boys and girls, will you obey and submit to their authority, their instruction, for Christ's sake? And all of us, will we learn to bear patiently with our parents' failings? Teenagers, I speak to you directly about this. Will you learn to deal patiently with mom and dad's shortcomings? One of the Grimm fairy tales, Grimm Brothers, relates the story of a couple who had to care for the husband's father, an elderly man who was unable to care for himself. His hand would have tremors when he was eating. You've seen that with older people, boys and girls. And when he'd take his spoon to eat, his hand would shake so badly that sometimes he'd spill on his face, sometimes he'd spill on his shirt, sometimes he'd spill on the tablecloth. And this distressed the wife, his daughter-in-law, who saw the father and the father-in-law as a burden, something that would keep her from her freedom and happiness. And so she'd rebuke him. She would say disparaging things about him. Can't you learn to eat properly? You're like a little baby, always spilling your food on your face and on the tablecloth. So finally she gave him a wooden bowl and said, here, take your food in this and go sit in the corner and eat. So he did, with great sadness, but he still spilled because he had the tremor in his hand. And she said, you know, if you want to eat like a pig, we're going to feed you like a pig. And she fashioned a trough for Grandpa to eat out of. One day when the family was eating, the wife noticed that her little child was playing with some pieces of wood. She said, what are you doing? He said, oh, I'm building a trough like Grandpa's for you, Mom, Dad. At which point, Mom and Dad froze in their tracks and began to cry. It was at that point that they brought back Grandpa to the table. How will you show respect, honor to those in authority over us, to our parents, our elders, if we have not learned how to respect those who are our elders? What will we expect in terms of how our children will honor us in the next generation? Let's pray. Father in heaven, pray that you would teach us the humility, the respect and regard that is necessary to honor parents, to honor those in authority over us, to be guarded, to be careful in our speech, but also to be guarded in our actions. For as we learned this morning from the Catechism, you have chosen to place such people in authority over us. And so, Father, may our love for you shape and fashion the love that we show for mom, for dad, grandma and grandpa, for those in authority over us, for the elders of the church, that we would do these things not only to respect them, but to honor your name. So bless us by your Spirit, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.